Thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you at my house in the San Francisco Bay Area, bringing you programming, as this is what we're all doing right now. And they're still doing that on HBO Real Sports, which, of course, has been on the air as many years with the iconic Bryant Gumbel at the helm. A lot of people call it the 60 Minutes of Sports. But we have a couple of their reporters this hour. We have John Frankel, who's coming up in about a half hour. But right now, we're very happy to have David Scott. And David was having a conversation with Aaron Dolan, who we know very well out here. David, thanks for coming on. Aaron Dolan, I know this wasn't the reason she was on your show, but she's a very media-savvy person. When she was out here as the girlfriend, she's now the wife, but as the girlfriend of Sean Doolittle, she did broadcasts on NBC Sports Bay Area. She was very outspoken that she had two moms, so she was very big in the LGBTQ community as well. But she was on your show talking about something much more serious, wasn't she?
Yes, and thanks for having me on, Rick. I appreciate it. You must have the best jingle in all of broadcast radio. Aaron Dolan, she's incredibly impressive. She lives with a very severe asthma, and you know, a lot of us, I think, who haven't experienced severe asthma, assume that it's just some kind of nuisance, but actually, it's a life-threatening illness. It's a chronic lung condition in her case, and so she had every reason to be terrified when she realized that her husband Sean was going to be in the middle of a pandemic, gathering with fans and players and stadium staff, et cetera, in incredibly large numbers, even after the governor of Florida said that was a terrible idea. And this is what we're really focusing on, the kind of unique epidemiology of live spectator sports in the context of a pandemic outbreak, gathering large crowds together by the tens of thousands. Sports events are among the most the biggest gatherings of crowds, at least on a regular basis, in this country and all over the world. And it's not just that they're gathering, but they're also cheering and jeering and yelling and screaming. They're eating and drinking. They're high-fiving. They're creating the conditions that are literally ideal for communicating disease. And so our story starts on February 19th, when people here were barely thinking about the outbreak, in Milan, Italy, of all places, where two Champions League soccer teams faced off in a match and set fire unwittingly to a chain of contagion that eventually swallowed the entire country of Italy and spread throughout Europe and to the U.S. And so we pick up the trail in early March in the Bay Area when public health authorities were calling on institutions across society to shut down large gatherings, and lo and behold, one sector of society resisted those calls, that being live sports, and so that's where we pick up the trail.
Yeah, I've heard about that event of the San Siro sort of being not patient zero, but social gathering zero. And so you look now at spring training, and when spring training started, we heard, hey, maybe there's a case or two over here in America, and maybe we'll get to the point where the NBA might shut down. And then we heard about Rudy Gobert, and then it started getting a little more serious. But I arrived in Phoenix the day to cover the A's and the Giants, and the day that they canceled spring training. And my reaction was, oh, come on. Really? We're going to cancel spring training now? But we know now that that was too late. And this is what we know now. And the funny thing is about Aaron Dolan was that she went online, and she has a massive following on social media. She said, please, whatever you do, don't go. And I noticed in your piece, she said, which was kind of scary because she was undermining her husband's employer. So it wasn't an easy thing.
Right. No, exactly. It was a very tough thing, I think. a tough position for her to be in. But you know, she was incredulous at that point. She was waiting for some authority, be it, you know, in the public officialdom or at Major League Baseball, to step in and in her words, be the adult and stop the gatherings and the play. And when that didn't happen, she took the social media as a kind of desperate last ditch effort to frankly shame the organizers to stop down. She's an impressive, insightful voice. I think it's interesting. You know, I think a lot of people were in your shoes. A lot of us were in your shoes on March 12th. Still sort of questioning, still a bit incredulous. You know, is it really that extreme a situation? But you know, by then the World Health Organization had declared an official pandemic. That was on March 11th. By then, the Florida governor was calling on large gatherings to be disbanded. And even after Major League Baseball issued a release saying that they would stop down, five spring training games were played. It's very hard to understand how that was allowed to happen at that point. We're trying to focus on a period of time where, frankly, sports teams and leagues, if they didn't know what to do, they were being told what to do. Certainly, you know, coronavirus was circulating in the community, in the world community, for months prior to the middle of March, early March, where we're sort of focusing attention. But you know, it could be that in January, it was fair that organizations wouldn't really know how to proceed. But by the middle of March, they were being told what to do by public health authorities all over the country. It's very hard to accept that they would resist those calls at the expense of adding cases and human suffering and even lives to the toll.
Last question for you. In your piece, one of the things that I found pretty fascinating, and I don't think it's a Big Brother type of situation, but just looking at people's cell phones and where they went after, because, you know, as we know, the Grapefruit League is not just Floridians and the Cactus League is not just people from Arizona. They go back to all around the country. And you guys did a little bit of a graphic on how that works. And then you wonder how, you know, the Dakotas can get coronavirus. And then you can kind of see how easily this thing gets spread around.
That's another, I think, you know, feature of the unique epidemiology of live spectator sports in the current era. You know, these sports are fully nationalized, in many cases fully globalized. Spring training games, you know, part of the ritual is to draw fans from all over the country. And part of it is that the conceit is really that you'll be able to get closer to your team, to your favorite players than you could ever do in the regular season. So all of that makes for, again, the conditions that are ideal for communicating disease. And then people disperse back to their homes, points far and wide, and potentially carry the virus far and wide. And so these are the reasons that the bosses of sport, you know, have to understand the mechanism by which this chain of contagion is let loose. And actually, you know, we end up feeling like sports has an incredibly important leadership role to play in the context of a pandemic outbreak, because they have, you know, the power to do such harm, but on the flip side, the power to do such good. Imagine if the major sports leagues decided to use their immense popularity and influence to change public behavior for the better. Had they stopped down, encouraged fans to shelter in place, in accordance with what public authorities were asking and in some cases ordering over the country, they could have moved the needle for the better. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and all of the epidemiologists that we talked to believe that the result was actually moving the needle for the worse.
Great stuff as usual from HBO Real Sports, and we've been speaking with David Scott, one of the fine reporters of that outfit. David, thanks for the report, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
I appreciate it very much. Take care of yourself.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, open lines. And at 11:40, we'll also check in with John Frankel, who also is with HBO Real Sports. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.